This reading is going to be read from Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. You can find it on page 901 in the Church Bible. That's 901, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Hosea's reconciliation with his wife. The Lord said to me, "Go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and she is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes." So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley. Then I told her, "You are to live with me for many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. For the Israelites will live for many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or idol. Afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessing in the last days." Amen.
Chapter 14, verses 1 to 13, that's on page 909 of the Church Bible. Page 909, chapter 14, 1 to 13. "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take your words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, 'Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips.' Assyria cannot save us. We cannot mount war horses. We will never again say, 'Our gods,' to what our own hands have made for you in the fatherless find compassion. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. It will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. Men will dwell again in his shade. He will flourish like the corn. He will blossom like a vine, and his fame will be like the wine from Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them." I'd just like to draw your attention to the heading of chapter 14 in the Church Bible: repentance to bring blessing. Amen.
Thank you, Sam and David, for bringing that reading. And now the squash and the fellowship, if you want. Mary? Okay, so you are not going. Yes, good. Last Sunday, we saw the second episode of Hosea series that ended up in a sad note. The covenant relationship between the beloved ones was broken, and the frailest personnel left home. Loved ones living astray from us is very hard to take it in. So God here, and the Hosea, and the father in the prodigal son, they were all going through that similar painful situation. So this morning, as the end of episode series on Uzziah, we are going to see what is happening further to that broken relationship. There was a young man who loved a beautiful young woman. He wanted to marry her. But the young woman gave him a horrible condition. She said, to prove his love for her, he has to bring her his mother's heart. It was a tormenting situation to that young man. He loved his mother and also was enchanted by this young woman, and he desired to have her hand in marriage. He was tormented between these two relationships. Eventually, he decided to kill his mother. He ran through the woods carrying his mother's heart in his hands. It was almost dark. The sun was settling down. And he tipped over. There was a trunk lying on the ground. So he tipped over that and he fell down. And the heart was flying. He was panicked. He was looking frantically for where the heart is. He had to find that heart before it gets darker. So he finally found the heart. When he was picking up the heart from the ground, the mother's heart was telling to him, "Son, are you all right? Are you hurt? Be careful. Watch over your steps." This is God's love. Even though the Israelites have had wounded God's heart and has denied his faithful love and ran away from his presence and got engaged with the other handmade gods, God's love was never changed. God said, "It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with the cords of human kindness. To them, I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek. I bent down to feed them." God never turned his face away from them. He was still looking for them to come and join. In our life, just think about it. How many times we have hurt God's loving heart? How many times we have betrayed him? How many times we have done things that were not pleasing to him? How many times we involved ourselves in the things that is not scripturally mentioned? For every such unfaithful response, if God has left us as such we were, then we are not here today. God, in his mercy, he always takes efforts in drawing us closer to him. God seeks to have reconciliation with us. He wants us to be reconciled to him. Reconciliation is nothing but being united. We are separated for some reason, and now we need to be united. That is reconciliation. And reconciliation is an end of an estrangement. You can call that as separation. This separation was originated by the original sin that was made between us and God. The famous theologian John Calvin, he describes reconciliation like this. The peace between humanity and God that results from the expiation, the removal of religious sin and the pacification of God's wrath. Phil Ryken, the evangelical theologian, he describes reconciliation as it is part of the message of salvation that brings us back together with God. I would like to describe reconciliation as it is a rescuing scheme resulting from the love of God. This rescuing scheme has God as the rescuer, Christ as the agent, and we are the creditors. In this process of reconciliation, individually something needs to be offered from all these three different parties: God, His Son Christ, and us. Let us start with the first party, God the rescuer, and His love. Unless God loves us, there is no hope for us to go back to Him. Thank you, God, for loving us. We cannot describe God's love. It is beyond our understanding. His unconditional love gives us, the sinners, the confidence that we can go unto His presence anytime we like, and we can abide in His presence forever. And His unchanging love gives us an assurance that God never punishes equally to the sins what we have done. Rather, He is standing there waiting for us to come back to Him. Hosea has been asked by God to love in the same way. God said to Hosea, "Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress." God was saying to Hosea, "Do not rebuke her, show more love to her. Do not reject her, show the same love what you have shown her before." Some of the commandments, it is easy to follow. If God asks us to go and build a temple with our physical work or doing some fundraising, we can do and do that. But go and love. Love. Can you love it without something coming within us? It has to come from us. We cannot fake in this love process. We cannot get any external agents to help us to love someone. It has to come from within us. How can we get that love? When God says go and love, it has to come. How can we get that? Unless we understood how God has loved us. Unless we have experienced how God is loving us still. Unless we enjoy the presence of His love, even in our ups and downs, we can show that love to anyone. I imagine Hosea might have gone to the street corners where Gomer was engaged in brothel, expecting, "One day my wife will come back to me." People passing by might have stopped and looked at Hosea, and they would have asked, "Are you still waiting for your wife? Can't you see that she has already started her new life now? Are you still seeking that? She will rejoin you after all this adulterous life she has engaged. Then Hosea had to use that opportunity, and he would have replied, "Come on, guys, I have been waiting for this. You have asked me now. Now I need to tell what God has asked me to tell you. I was waiting for this opportunity. Come and listen." Hosea might have told them, "Yeah, this is how we Israelites betrayed our loving Father. This is how we went and worshipped all the other idols, Baal, the whatever the god that is listed out. And we have brought that idolatry as a big blockage between us and God. Now, God is waiting there. He is asking us to come and reconcile to Him. If you repent for your sins and go back to Him, His mercy will allow Him to embrace you. Come, we will go." This must have been a short summarized message of what Hosea might have told to the people of Israel. In the prodigal son story, when the son, his life hit the bottom of the rock, instantly he remembered his father's love. He was sure that if he returns to his father's home, he will be certainly accepted. And that gave him the courage to go back to his father's house. And he identified his father's true love, and that true love did not fail him. Secondly, Christ as an agent. Unless Christ as an agent mediating on behalf of us, then there is no remedy for our restoration to God. The original sin and the sin we commit in our life has separated us from God. So something needs to be done to fill that gap. Christ came forward. He offered His own life for us. He died for us. And He filled that separation. He filled that gap. Now we can be united to God through Christ. Christ, He paid the price. Because when we started committing sins, we become the children of Satan. And we need to be paid for some amount and need to be rescued. So Christ paid the price. The price was His own life. In Hosea's life, Hosea need to rescue his wife, adulterous wife Gomer, for this slavery, what she has been caught under. He says, "So I bought her," Hosea bought her, "for 50 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley." Hosea had to release her, his wife Gomer, from that enslaved hostage. She was caught up somewhere because of her adulterous life. So he had to pay the price. If you see the price in those days, in Hosea's period, 15 shekels of silver, it is about 170 grams. And homer and lethek, lethek is half of the homer. And homer and lethek are the units used for measuring cubic things, volumetric measurements. And it comes about around 195 kilograms. So I imagine Hosea might have paid everything from his earnings. Whatever he has saved for his whole life, he might have paid to buy his wife back. Where was his wife? His wife was engaged in all those adulterous life. But God asked him to love. So he emptied himself, like Christ emptied himself for us on the cross. Whole message of reconciliation is revolving around the cross. If you see the vertical staff, it reconciles us with God. And the horizontal staff, it reconciles man to man. So the symbol of cross is a message of reconciliation. One leads to the other. And one cannot exist without the other. If you lift the cross up, everything will lose its charm and everyone will run into its shadow. That is the power of cross. Thirdly, we the creditors, unless we yield ourselves, the reconciliation process cannot be completed. What can we do for that? Yes, we are sinners. We need to pay the price for us to be united to God. Yeah, we know that. Christ has already paid the price. Then what else we need to do? Do we need to do anything? Can't we go free because Christ has done that? For every sin, there should be a punishment. If there is no punishment, then it is not, the sin is not justified there. If we are not facing the consequences for the sins we have committed, then it is not fair, it is not logically correct, and it is not morally true. So something needs to be done for the sins we have committed. Christ has made the plan again so easy for us. He says that, have faith in me. Faith in Christ will justify our sin. Justification is completed there. Just we need to have belief in Christ. In believing Christ, all our chains that has been entangled with the Satan will be loosened. As David read from Hosea 14, we need to do two things for believing in Christ. One is repentance and another one is forgiveness. We need to repent for our sins. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. We need to do something. Repentance, turning our life back. Not 360 degree, going back to the same sin, 180 degree. Turning away from our old life, saying that, Jesus, I left my old life. I am following you now. There is nothing old can be continued. I commit myself to you. I will follow you. That is repentance. Changing ourselves completely to God. It has to be made in our heart, not just by lips. Forgiveness. We need to go back to God, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously. We can ask that, isn't it? After all, He is going to give us the eternal life to us. Can't we go back and say, Lord, yes, I made this sin. I was a sinner. Originally, I am filled with sin. So I am coming back to you, Lord. Forgive me. I know that your grace is enough to forgive even my deepest sin, whatever I have done. Repentance and forgiveness. Just to have faith in Christ. Then the whole process of reconciliation is completed. Hosea, the meaning of Hosea is salvation. So the book of Hosea is about salvation, emphasizing God's love, mercy, and compassion, and His faithfulness. It is not the book like book of Jonah. If you remember the Jonah story, the people in Nineveh, They came back to God and they repented for their sins. God forgave them and they all lived happily ever after. That was the end of Jonah's story. But Hosea's book, it is the hope of restoration. The hope is given as an anchor for any generation, under any circumstance, for any type of waywardness. We can hold on to that hope. We can go back to God. We can say that, Lord, I am repenting for my particular sin I did yesterday. Please forgive me. I know you will forgive me. Restore me again. He is able to restore us. So the whole book of Hosea, if you see that, if then God will restore us. If Israelites come and ask for pardon, He will restore them or reconcile them. Everything will be will, if they have done on a conditional basis. Repentance and forgiveness. It is an open door. People who are aware is willing to hear that, they will hear and they will go back to God for repentance and forgiveness. God is our rescuer. He is a loving God. His love is unchanging. And Christ, who paid the price for us, He is a mediator. We can talk to God through Christ. And we are a privileged people. He has shed His blood. He is asking us to come back. It is easy to love someone who is loving us. If someone has betrayed us, maybe we, the believers, might have taken a step beyond asking for reconciliation, trying to make reconciliation. Have we gone any time like Hosea, going away from our comfort zone, marrying an adulterous wife, and then the adulterous wife has gone and engaged with the other men, and then the Hosea had to go back and love her again for the sake of God loving him? Let us commit ourselves and ask, Lord, expand in my capacity. I want the Holy Spirit to direct me and guide me to get reconciliation with the people. Paul says, God reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We read that when the service started. So the ministry of reconciliation is given to us all. We are all the ambassadors of Christ. We can go back to the world and live for Him as the ambassadors. How much I can reconcile men to men. How much I need to reconcile to God. That is what the book of Hosea is about.